AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Hard Shoulder, with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now on this week's Kids Clinic, neurodevelopment therapist and founder of Cogni Kids is here to discuss how to recognise autism or ADHD in your child. You're very welcome to the programme. And I suppose we'll just start with the beginning, Alwyn. Yep. They're two very separate things.
They are. They are indeed. Yeah, absolutely. So they do often coexist, though, which can make it very, very difficult to extrapolate one from the other. Autism, we've got a range of, behaviours and traits that are identifiable versus ADHD, which is more the attention and the attention deficit and the hyperactivity. So autism, then, we would be looking at social difficulties, eye contact, functioning like that, motor skills as well can be really impacted. They are very, very different and they present differently.
Let's start then with ADHD. What exactly is it and how does it present?
Yeah, so ADHD, I suppose, in boys would typically be diagnosed faster. So there is between a 3-to-1 or a 4-to-1, depending on which research you read, in terms of diagnosis between boys and girls. Part of that is because boys tend to display more overt behaviours. So they would be much more kind of physical. They would, swing on chairs, be easily distracted and just be very, very kind of boisterous and maybe hard to focus. So that would be the ADHD side of things for boys. For girls, it's much more subtle. As well in autism, much more subtle. And girls tend to be able to mimic accepted behaviours better.
This is masking.
Masking, exactly.
So little girls are able to sort of look around the room, learn how other people are behaving and think, I need to behave like that in order to fit in?
Yes, they read the room essentially and they kind of figure out, what behaviours are acceptable in the environment that they're in. And they can literally mask that, which can make it so much more difficult to actually be able to diagnose, or even for parents to, or teachers who would spend a lot of time with them, to know that something is amiss and they may need a referral to, investigate a little bit further. But girls typically would present, say, with daydreaming. We were probably all in school with, girls that were constantly looking out the window and, daydreaming, or we may have been those girls ourselves. They'd be a little bit more easily distracted, but would be less kind of noticeable in terms of the distraction that boys would show. They would be also forgetful and they would also, and I suppose with boys as well, but they would lose items. So they might come home from, school minus their jacket or their pencil case or, things like that. So
you mentioned there was a range there within autism. Is there a range too within ADHD? Or is it less pronounced?
It's definitely less pronounced. Yeah, absolutely. It's much more pronounced in autism. In autism, you can go from maybe just social cues and social anxiety, kind of finding it difficult for eye contact, to being nonverbal and fully dependent on full-time care. So that's a huge span there in the autism spectrum. It's not as wide in ADHD.
In terms of ADHD, some of the things, the behaviours that you describe there, you talk about, swinging on the chair, difficulty focusing, being boisterous. I know there'll be lots of people listening thinking, that sounds exactly like my son.
Yeah.
Like they seem to be sort of traits that you nearly associate with a young boy.
Yes, yeah.
So how do you know the difference?
So they kind of, they're more prolonged. They tend not to grow out of them. They tend to be causing difficulty in a school environment. So a lot of these behaviours aren't actually identified until they go to school, where they need to perform in a particular way or a particular manner to be able to function in the environment that, you know, that is required.
So some of those things you might expect from a younger child, but then by the time they get into primary school, yeah, they will have settled more, or settled enough to be able to, I suppose, function within the classroom.
Yeah,
on
and they
any
can follow
day.
Instructions, they can maintain focus. You know, so like teachers would be looking for a number of different things. It wouldn't be just that the only thing that they do is that they swing on a chair. But generally, swinging on a chair is associated with vestibular input. It's where the child doesn't know where their body is in space. So they need to get that feedback. And what swinging in the chair does is actually stimulates the inner ears. And the fluid in those inner ears activates our balance system, which sends information to the brain about where the body actually is. So it's not a kind of misbehavior, which is what we would typically kind of identify as swinging on the chair. A lot of the time, 95% of the time, it's actually that the child is needing, they need that sensory input. They need to understand where their body is in space. They're absolutely trying to regulate themselves. They don't even know they're doing it most of the time. You know, if you ever talk to somebody or, you know, are in the classroom and you ask somebody to stop swinging on a chair, a lot of the time you're like, what? They just didn't even realise that they were swinging on a chair. So it's that sensory input. So there can be, and again, with both of these, it can be either a deficit of sensory input or an overstimulation of sensory input. So, you know, it depends on what functions and what side of the brain, the left brain, the right brain, you know, what kind of arcs are working or not working.
In terms of young girls then, you say they yes. are better at masking, they're better at reading the room and learning their behaviours.
Yeah.
Are there other sort of maybe more uncommon traits that you could look out for as a parent if you had any concerns?
Yes. So a lot of the time, actually, in teenage years, girls are actually they're sent for an intervention. So there's a comorbidity, something like anxiety or depression, poor self-esteem, eating disorders. And it's those that would drive the parent to bring the child to the doctor. And then actually, with further investigation, there's then this underlying factor, which then becomes kind of, aha, this is actually makes sense. If we trace it right back to early childhood and the whole way forward, then, you know, this is how it's now manifesting. And we now see that this child has had ADHD all along.
It can be really, really difficult for parents out there to get a diagnosis.
Absolutely.
Briefly, Alwyn, if you don't mind. Although we could talk about this, I think, for a long time. What can parents do to support their child if they feel that there is some issue there, there's some concern, but they are awaiting a diagnosis?
Yeah, there is a number of things. So underlying both ADHD and autism are retained primitive reflexes. So you can start to look for somebody that can help integrate those primitive reflexes, which is really, really important and can actually really help minimise, the severity of symptoms that are being sought. Doesn't cure it. They can look at the diet, definitely really whole food diet, get rid of processed foods, absolutely restrict sugar, really high omega supports. So get in some amazing omega-3s, really good healthy fats, eggs, fantastic for the brain, quick scrambled eggs in the morning, some blueberries, best brain breakfast ever. There is really then noting whether it's a boy or a girl that you're waiting for a diagnosis or referral on, is really noting the behaviours that you're concerned about. Talk to the teachers, note the behaviours they're concerned about, because we really have to be cognizant about the fact that a lot of the diagnosis metrics were based on boys' symptoms. So
not necessarily
the girl's symptoms. So be really, really clear. Keep a diary, triggers and outbursts, etc.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Yep, but Alwyn Moran from Cogni Kids Study, thank you so much for coming in to us.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.